Life is a matter of choices, and every choice you make makes you. That's a statement by John Maxwell. He was a business expert, a consultant, motivational speaker, but think about that. Life is a matter of choices, and every choice you make makes you. I want us to talk this evening for a few minutes about seven biblical principles for decision making. Before we get into that, it's good to see everyone back with us this evening. Again, men, right after the service, we'll have a business meeting, and we should be able to take care of that in a timely manner. When I was going through looking for some things that we need to make choices about, I just put in a search for some questions to ask in life. I was looking for something different. I want to read some of these questions, but when you think about making decisions, we make hundreds of decisions every day. What are we going to eat? What are we going to put on to wear? What will we do? Where will we choose to go? What will we buy? Hundreds of choices every day. You've got a choice. Which one of these doors are you going to pick? These questions are general, but I think they will be good to mention before we get into some of these principles. And these are just a few of them I pulled up from a couple of different sites. What do I love doing? What brings me joy? What could I do today to help someone else? Am I following the crowd or do I listen to God's word? When did I last do something outside of my comfort zone? You know, too many people are full of excuses. As Christians, we've got to get out of our comfort zone if we're going to have an influence on the world. Is there someone I need to forgive? Is there a conversation I need to have? Does my presence improve the lives of those I care about? What do I need to let go of in order to move forward? You see, all the things that we do each day are choices that will help us answer these questions. What are the most important things to you in your life? What are your values? What do you represent? What do you want to embody? You know, we need to know this, say this, work to make this happen. Is there something you're still holding on to? Is it time to let go? What are you busy with today? Will this matter in 1 year, 3 years, 5 years? That's an important question as we go through this. Because again, so many times we spend our time involved in things that in the end aren't really going to matter. When we're busy, will it matter later? Why choose time to spend our time and energy on things that are not going to matter? Are you putting any parts of your life on hold? Why? And again, these are decisions that we have to make. What's the top priority in your life right now? What are you doing about it? And as a Christian, we should know what our top priority is, and all of our other decisions should fall underneath that. If you were to die tomorrow, what would be your biggest regret? What can you do now to make sure that doesn't happen? What is the biggest thing you can do now that will change your life for the better? How can you start working on that? What do you need to do to achieve your ideal home? What do you fear most in life? Why? Is there anything you're running away from? And again, these are questions we may not think of them, but they are part of every person's life. What limiting beliefs are you holding on to? You know, Satan, he's going to cause us to doubt. He's going to give us discouragement. He's going to get us to feel depressed. We've got to realize that, and we've got to make the right decisions. What limiting beliefs are you holding on to? Are they helping you achieve your goals? If not, is it time to let them go? What beliefs can you take on to help you achieve your goals? You know, again, we can choose our habits. We can choose them. Where are you living right now? Where are you living? I've got three places for you to choose from. Are you living in the past? Are you living in the future? or are you living in the present? It's a choice we make. A lot of people live in the past. A lot of people live in the future, so they don't have to deal with the present. What is your life purpose? Why do you exist? What is your mission? And again, as a Christian, that should be easy. Are you afraid of letting others get too close to you? And why? You know, that goes against being a Christian, because as a Christian, we are to have brotherly love for one another, love the lost, love God, get close to each other, and that's the only way that we're going to be able to let our light shine in the world. But we want to look at biblical principles for decision making. And please turn in Deuteronomy to chapter 30. And I want us to start there to see that we have some choices to make. Deuteronomy 30, beginning at verse 14. But the word is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may do it. And again, that's why I keep stressing, why are we learning all these verses? Not just so we have them stored in our mind, but so we can do them. Verse 15, see, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil, in that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and to keep his commandments, his statutes and his judgments, that you may live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go to possess. But if your heart turns away so that you do not hear and are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I announce to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not prolong your days in the land which you cross over the Jordan to go in and possess. I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live, that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice, and that you may cling to him, for he is your life and the length of your days, that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give to them. There is so much in these verses. One thing I want to point out right now, in verse 19, we have these set before us. It's a choice that we have to do, to choose. Choose life, and it affects two people, two groups. Choose life that both you and your descendants may live. The choices that we make today are going to affect our children, our grandchildren, right on down our descendants. Again, we have hundreds of choices that we make each day. And a lot of these are just, I don't want to say they aren't important, but they aren't eternal decisions that we have to make. And there are some things we just have to realize that the decision that we make is going to deal with the eternity of our soul and where we spend it. And we want to make sure that we make the right decisions. Joshua 24:15, and if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites and land who you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We have a choice. And sometimes Christians have a hard time deciding what to do in specific situations that call for clear decisions. And friends, it shouldn't be that way. And I'll tell you a secret up front. It's really not a secret. But when you become a Christian, when you decide to make Christ the King of your life, Lord of Lords, you put him first in your life. He's the first priority. So many of the other decisions aren't even going to be a question. If Christ is first, I don't even have to think about this because I've already decided that Christ is first. And it's like if we have a special service that comes up, a gospel meeting, something through the week, do I have to wait and decide if I'm going to be there and support that? I don't, because I made that decision. And you know when I made that decision? When I came up out of the waters of baptism and I put on Christ, He directs my life. And there are so many Christians, they find it hard to make a decision because they want to, what we would say, straddle the fence. They don't want to be on this side. They don't want to be on that side. They want to straddle the fence. They want to go down the middle of the road. 1 Kings 18:21, and Elijah came to all the people and said, "How long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow Him. But if Baal, follow him." But the people answered him not a word. If God is God, we owe Him everything. If we don't believe that God is God, then stop saying we believe and say, "I believe in the devil and I'm going to worship him." Elijah called him out on that. Friend, we need to learn to be more aware of our decisions and how they affect our eternity. And we all need to be better decision makers. So, biblical principles for decision making. And these are just some questions that we can ask to help us make the right decision. Can you ask God to bless your decision that you make? We often look to God to give us His stamp of approval on our plans rather than seeking out His will and waiting for His direction. We want to do something and then say, "God, you agree with this, don't you?" And we've got it backwards. Somebody might say, "God, I need a job. I really need a job. And well, somebody offered me a job driving a beer truck. God answered my prayer." Didn't you, God? No. See, that's got it backwards. It's got it backwards. There may be a business deal that you want to get involved in, going into business or something you're buying and selling. Can we ask God to bless our decision that we make? Again, when He blesses it, it's going to be in line with His standards, with His righteousness, with His holiness. Proverbs 10:22, "The blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and He adds no sorrow to it." Numbers 6:22, "And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, This is the way you shall bless the children of Israel. Say to them, The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. So they shall not put my name on the children of Israel. They shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them." Where do our blessings come from? From God. God is the one that blesses us. He is the one that we look to for blessings. And can we ask God to bless the decision that we make? Psalm 19:14. "Let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." Our life has got to be consistent with God's word. What we think, what we say, what we do. And if we do something contrary to that, can we ask God to bless the decision that we make? Well, another question, can you thank God for it? 1 Thessalonians 5:18, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." If you pray for a new job and God gives you one, is it easy to thank Him? Yes. If you pray you need a new car and you get a new car, is it easy? Yes. You need this, you need that, He gives it to you. What if you pray and He says no? What if He prays and things turn out completely like you were not expecting them to? Do we give thanks to God? Well, what does 1 Thessalonians 5:18 say? In everything, give thanks. You mean not just the things that we like? You see, everything we ask for God, we should be able to thank Him for whatever we receive. That means when things go our way and when things don't go our way. We give thanks in everything. Everything means everything. When I want one thing and God gives me something else, can I give Him thanks? I have learned to do that. I didn't used to. I kept praying for what I wanted. And then I learned, you know, thank you, God, for what you gave me. Help me understand why you gave me this. And you think about the parent-child relationship. A child wants something, goes and asks the father, Daddy, I want this. The father says no. The child's crying and kicking and screaming. And why not? I said no, son. I said no. Does that father not like the child? The father loves the child. The father has something else in mind, has something for a different time, and that child needs to learn to say, okay, thank you, Daddy. I asked for this, but you gave me that. Thank you. I needed to learn that in my life. I would ask for something, and you may think, why did God give me this? You get farther down the road, and you see the providence of God, and things always work out the best with the providence of God. Another question, are you doing this to the glory of God? 1 Corinthians 10:31, therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Friends, that's why we were created, to bring glory to God. God wants us to recognize that our hearts are His temple. That's where He dwells. Our body is the temple of God. And we must be holy. We must separate ourselves from the world. And if we understand that, so many of the choices are easy to make. Somebody calls me up and, hey, you want to go over and do this and that and the other? I'm like, I wouldn't even think of doing that. Well, why? Because I'm a child of God. God dwells in me. Can you see God going and doing this over here and doing that over there? If it goes against His nature, it's something we should not be doing. We need to recognize that God lives in us. We represent God. We are His children. We wear the name Christian. And you, to try to look at it another way, you think of some different activities or occupations that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, you put Him in this position. Can you see Him doing this, whatever this is? You'd say, I can't see Jesus doing that. Well, we are the children of God. Why do we think we can put ourselves in a situation like this, or go here or do that, and it will not bring dishonor to God? Will your decision be a stumbling block to others, or help them to follow Jesus? 1 Corinthians 8:13. Therefore, if food makes my brother stumble, I will never again eat meat, lest I make my brother stumble. And this was eating meat offered unto idols. There are different things that you stop and think about this. The Corinthians, many of them came out of idolatry, and someone might do something that would cause them to go back into it. And we don't have that situation today, but I think we can make some parallels. Say someone led a worldly lifestyle, and alcohol was one of their vices, and you go out to eat. Do you want to go to a restaurant where they're going to be carrying alcohol back and forth every table that might cause him to stumble and say, well, look, they took me to this place. You know, it must be okay. We need to think about those things with our brethren. Will the decision that we make be a stumbling block to others, or will it help them to follow Jesus? How about missing services? Somebody will say, everybody misses services. You know, I need to travel. I'm not going to be here Sunday. You know, I need a vacation. I'm going to go on a vacation. You know, our family came in from out of town. I'm going to stay home. I wish I could be there, but I can't tell my family no. And someone, a new Christian, a weak Christian, someone visiting, hears that, sees that, and the decision that I make, is that going to be something that's going to help them grow, or is that going to be a stumbling block? And I just tell you, if you have a problem with that question, it's going to be a stumbling block. Because what happens, somebody will take off and do something, and then somebody else says, well, if they can do it, I can do it. I can do it. And then somebody else, well, if they can do that, I can do this. And then again, you've gotten off the standard. Everybody is doing everything they want to. Back to that lust and idolatry, that covetousness, satisfying their own desires. How about your work schedule? Somebody would say, well, this is the only job I could get. Okay, I accept that. Are you praying to God for a better job, or are you content and willing to stay in that if it's a hindrance to putting God first? What will your children see in your lives? Remember back in Deuteronomy, the choices that we make affect not only us, but our descendants. What will your children? If mommy and daddy can miss for ABC, whatever that is, fill in the blank, if they can miss for that, then I can miss for XYZ. Because you see, again, once we get away from putting God first, then anything goes. Anything goes. 1 Peter 2:11-12, beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. Is it easy being different? No, it's not easy being different, but the longer you are different, the easier it gets. When I was younger, I think this is a general saying, when you're younger, you feel peer pressure. People put pressure on you to do this, do that, go here, go there. But the more you grow in the Lord, that doesn't matter what they say. Again, because you have determined you're going to put God first. No matter what comes along. And when we have children, when you have young children, do you know when you start teaching them that? You teach them when they're young. You let them know we're going to be different from everybody else. It's like I was talking, I used the illustration not too long ago, the father that was having a problem with his daughter in the clothes that she was wearing, and he didn't talk about it till she became a teenager, and it was a problem then he couldn't control, instead of teaching them from the time you start putting clothes on them. You teach them from the youth. We need to prayerfully consider how our decisions will affect others, our spouse, our children, our church family. I need to be edified. If I wasn't here, somebody would say, well, why isn't he here, you know, teaching and preaching? Well, I need that too. I need to be edified. And if you aren't here, how are you going to edify me? How are you going to edify each other? How is the body going to grow if we aren't all working together? Will your decision be a stumbling block to others or help them follow Jesus? And when you see when you make the right decision, you know, Jim and Joyce, I know they're going to be here every time. Every time. That helps me follow Jesus. They set a positive example. Code and Jane, they set a positive example. And it works both ways. It works both ways, positive and negatively. But every decision affects not just us, but others. Number five. See if I can go back there. It just took off on its own there. Are you doing this to please God or man? Colossians 3:23. Whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. God is the one that we serve. You think about the workplace, and we've all seen this. Some people are lazy on the job, and they'll do just enough to keep the boss off their back, to keep somebody else off their back. You'll see that in the church. Some people will do just enough to keep a brother or sister from calling them and saying, "What's going on?" Ephesians 6:7, with goodwill doing service as to the Lord, not to men. We are blessed to work in the greatest work that there is, the vineyard of the Lord. What can be greater than that? What can be greater than to work for the one that owns everything? Are we going to be lazy working in the vineyard? It's a choice. It's a decision we make. We could do all kinds of things for man to see, to please man, just like the Pharisees did. But we could be slouching, and our potential is up here for God, and our effort is down here. Are we making the right decision when we are not doing things heartily as to the Lord? Galatians 1:10, "For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ." See, we can get by doing enough to please each other, but are we pleasing God? God expects His children to shine His lights. And we see some people do just enough, just so you can tell that there's a little flicker going on in that light. 2 Corinthians 5:9, "Therefore we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to Him." To who? To God. That's our aim. Do I care about pleasing people here? To a degree, but it's not to the same degree that I care about being pleasing to Him. If I'm pleasing to Him and I am displeasing to all of these people over here, my decision is going to be pleasing to God. You know, something could come up in a congregation, some doctrine. They want to bring in some innovation, change something in the worship. A preacher could either change and please all of these people that want to go in false doctrine, or he could stick to what the Bible says and be pleasing to God. When we make decisions, we want to make them based on pleasing God, not man. You know, again, if it doesn't please God, why are we even thinking about it? Number 6, have you thought ahead about the consequences of your decision? Galatians chapter 6, beginning at verse 7, "Do not be deceived, God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will out of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will out of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart." Have you thought ahead about the consequences of your decision? The consequences are predictable. They're predictable. Here in Galatians 6, God's law of sowing and reaping. If we sow to the flesh, we're going to reap from the flesh. We sow to the Spirit, we're going to reap to the Spirit. If I plant a tomato plant, I'm not going to expect to get cucumbers from it. It's predictable. I'm going to get tomatoes. And our decisions that we make are going to have consequences. And those consequences are predictable. The job that you take, will it bring you closer to God, or will it take you farther away from God? Will it take you and your spouse closer to God, or will it take you farther away from God? The person that you marry, what are the consequences of marrying the person that you are going to marry? Is it going to be this isn't the right terminology, but marginal Christian? Well, this person was baptized. You said I need to marry somebody that's baptized. Is that, there's going to be consequences to that? Or are you going to marry somebody that was on fire for the Lord? It's our souls that we're talking about. It's the souls of the children that they're talking about. Where you choose to live. You know, we could live anywhere on this earth. And again, some places we're going to be able to live a better Christian life than a lot of other places. I would say Dayton is a great place. Why? Because there are a number of congregations of God's people around the area. You go down to Louisville, to Lexington, you go to certain cities, and there are large groups of Christians in that area. You go to some states, and there may be a handful of people up here and a handful of people down there. Is that a sin to go there? No, but you have to think of the consequences. How is that going to help build you and make you a stronger Christian? You think about going to college. And whenever our children talked about going somewhere, and we were just talking about this the other day, one of the questions I would always ask them, if they were talking about going someplace out of state or going to school, and I would say, well, where are you going to go to worship if you go there? Because when our children leave and go off to school, the church that they associate with is a very important choice that they need to make. Very important. Somebody might say, well, I looked in the Yellow Pages and it says there's a Church of Christ in that city, so that would be okay to go to. I've had family that have gone to school where there was a Church of Christ and they went down the wrong road because it wasn't sound. You don't want to go to just any church. Again, it's a choice. You have to be aware of the congregation and of the consequences. But for myself, if I was in the New Testament time, 18 years old, and they had colleges like they have today, and I'm getting ready to go to college, and I'd say, hey, look, there's a church in Corinth, a Church of Christ. That probably wouldn't be a good choice for a young person with all the problems they had going on. Now, an older seasoned person, it would be different. A younger person would go and maybe make it, maybe not. They might be pulled into all the sin that was going on. See, you have to think about the choice and the consequences. Have you thought ahead about the consequences of your decision? James 4:4, adulteresses and adulteresses. Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the scripture says in vain, the spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously, but he gives more grace. Therefore he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Have you thought about how it will affect you and others? Have you thought about how it will affect your family? How it will affect your children? How your decision will affect your influence? You know, people have lost their influence in life because of making the wrong decision. They've lost their reputation by making the wrong decision. What effect will it have on the congregation? What effect will it have on your soul's eternity? And number 7, the decision you're making, would you want to be doing whatever you decide when Christ returns? Something to consider. That can be taken several different ways. We were at a congregation one time. They had taken their Sunday service and they were just meeting one time on Sunday. They were meeting another time midweek. And the men were talking about whether or not they were going to meet during the midweek to have a service. And this was years before the virus. And they were talking about canceling it. And one man spoke up and said, well, I want to know if we're going to have the midweek service. If we aren't, I'm going to go fishing. And he was more focused on going fishing than to find a group of God's people to assemble with and study the Bible. Friends, we have decisions to make every day. Some of them are going to affect our eternity more than others. The world will not encourage you to make godly choices. The world will always try to make you stop and doubt your decisions. When you're thinking about what to do and you think this is the right thing, Satan's going to try to plant that seed of doubt in your mind. We must follow the Word of God and have faith, and have faith to let His Word guide us. Hebrews 11:6, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. And 1 John 5:4, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. The realization that Christ comes first in our life, the realization that faith is the victory that overcomes the world, we need to have those two things as things that help us to make the choices. God sets before us the choice that Israel had: choose life or choose death. And our number one priority in life is to seek the kingdom first. And what is the kingdom? It's the church. We learn that from Matthew. It tells us to seek the kingdom first. That means seek the church first. Our choices must be in line with our number one goal in life. With money, earning it, spending it, giving it, we have choices. Where we live, where we work, where we vacate, we have choices. Our time, and it's really not our time, it's God's time. How do we spend our time fulfilling our number one priority in life? We have choices. And again, God has given us free will, and when we stand before Him and He's our judge, we can't blame Him for the choices that we made. And whatever choices that we make are going to have consequences. Choose this and I will give you life. Choose this and I will give you death. It's your choice. And He's still offering that this evening. We can either be a victim or we can be a victor. We can live victoriously through Christ. Friends, it's your choice. We hope that you'll make the right choice. Follow Christ. If anybody needs to obey the gospel, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing. Yeah.